is so good, and his mercy and his grace endure forever. We've been doing a teaching on Holy Spirit, amen, and we did an introduction, and last Sunday we did recognizing the Holy Spirit, and today we want to talk about cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Even though we can know that Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity and a part of what God God's plan, and Jesus said that he would send us a comforter, which would be the Holy Spirit, that would lead us into all truth. And though we can know what the truth is, the key is cooperating with Holy Spirit, obeying God when Holy Spirit speaks to us. Amen? And so that's what we want to look at today, is cooperating with the Holy Spirit. In other words, acknowledging that without him we can do nothing. What we come to see is that without Holy Spirit, there's nothing I can do or you can do that will please God in any wise. There's nothing that we can do that God will accept unless Holy Spirit is playing a role in it. And what I mean by playing a role in it, that he's ordering our thoughts and our steps, and he's telling us what to do. So as a Christian, it is so vital for us to not lose our consciousness of awareness of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, because after a while we will come to have what is called a form of godliness and not really walking in the power of salvation. Amen. And you know, the Christians are very powerful people when they allow Holy Spirit, amen, to order their thoughts and their steps. Amen. I've seen people lay hands on the sick and they recover. I've seen people speak a word in season and out of season and share with people things that they only talk to God about. But when Holy Spirit is in and working in our life and we are cooperating with him, not only are we blessed, but we also will be a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you want to be blessed? And how many of you want to be a blessing? Amen. And I believe that it's impossible to be blessed without being a blessing. And I also believe it's impossible, amen, to be healed, amen, without having words and actions of healing ourselves. Because healing flows through us. All of the things of God flows through us. Amen. So then, if I'm going to do good, I ask Holy Spirit to pour your power in me and then out of me. Amen? Amen. Not that I got the power and I'm going to be able to just pour it out on my own. But I ask Holy Spirit to work in us first, and then through us, and then out of us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So then that's the key, is that we want to look at. Amen. Our reference text today is coming from John, the 16th chapter. But if you don't mind, I'm going to read from John, the 16th chapter, but I'm going to start at the 4th verse, and I'm going to read all the way through to the 16th verse to lay down a foundation of scripture for what it is that we are going to be sharing. Amen? The 4th verse of the 16th chapter of John, it says, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I say not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." The 5th verse says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me whither thou goest." The 6th verse says, "But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Amen. The 8th verse says, "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Amen. "Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." And we are now in the 12th verse. It says, "Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." The 12th verse. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." The 14th verse says, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of me and shall show it unto you. all things that the Father has of mine, therefore say I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. The 16th verse says, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. So my emphasis is in the 13th verse. It says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall speak, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Hallelujah. One of the subtle insinuations about God that the devil always whispers to us or has been very successful in doing throughout history is not that God doesn't exist. So no, there's some people that believe that God doesn't exist. You know, they're called atheists and whatnot like that. But the devil's biggest plan is that he can get you to believe, or you and I to believe, that God is so great, he's so majestic, so powerful, and so he's therefore removed from the lowly lives of humans. So, and that's what the devil want to work on. And so it's like there's no way that this almighty God, the creator of all things, can be concerned about you and I daily lives. And so that's one of the things that the devil has been very successful at doing, is getting us to think that God is just far off. Almighty God, that God is not concerned that you got a headache. He don't want you to think that God is concerned that you got some financial problems. You know, he's too high for that. And that's what the devil pushes to us. And he's been very effective, because a lot of Christians will not be conscious of Holy Spirit because they think that God is just too great to bother him with everything. And God wants us to bother him with everything. And I mean, God wants us to bother him with everything. However, the devil has been very successful. And if we come up short, the devil will tell us, well, God is too mighty and too great and too holy for you to approach him and tell him you're sorry and tell him that, Lord, I messed up, that I came up short. So, but what happens with this is the devil will use this. And the purpose of doing this is convince us that we are the master of our faith. You know, a lot of people say, I'm the master of my faith. I'm the captain of my soul, that it's in my control to manipulate and control my destiny and what's going to happen to me. And I can do it based on my own standards and my own, because I'm, quote unquote, the God of my destiny. And that's what the devil wants even Christians to believe at times. And even though we can say the sinner's prayer, we can say that we're Christians, we can give our life to God, but God is not allowed in every area of our life on a daily basis, all day, not only in the morning, but all day. God is sent us Holy Spirit to tell us how to think, to tell us how to respond, to tell us what to do. But the devil will say that, listen, this is not holy enough. This is not godly enough for me to bother God about. But God want to be bothered about everything. And basically what I'm saying by that is he want us to never, ever rule out Holy Spirit in anything that we're thinking of and anything that we're doing and anything that we're encountering or going through. God wants us to know that Holy Spirit is here to lead us into all truth. And there's no thing, hallelujah, that we need to know about God or about life that God doesn't want us to give Holy Spirit permission to give us. He wants us to give Holy Spirit permission to order our thoughts. He wants us to give Holy Spirit permission to tell us what to do. In other words, he wants us to cooperate with Holy Spirit. Just like we cooperated with him to be saved, as we will see, he wants us to cooperate with him every day of our life. Hallelujah. So then what this thinking does within an individual, it strikes a death blow at the reality of Holy Spirit. So if the devil can get me to think that God is high and mighty, then it nullifies what Jesus said, that he will send me a comforter who would lead me into all truth, not some truth, but all truth. Now, when we look at the word all truth, we're talking about all truth, not only when you read the Bible, but all truth. Whenever your mind is thinking or you got opinions that, and you're trying to figure out, so what am I to do in this situation? You need to know the truth about what to do. So when it says all truth, it means all truth. Hallelujah, because there's only one truth Amen. So the truth is the right way that God says to do. And Holy Spirit is the only one that can show me what is the right thing to do. No matter what my past experience has been, no matter how I dealt with situations in past and circumstances in past, this situation is new. And I still have to say, Holy Spirit, show me how to do this. You know, I intentionally act like I don't know how to do things that I've done over and over and over and over again. And you know why I do that? So that I can say, okay, Holy Spirit, you know, I've been doing this here for a while, but today show me how to do it. Now, I used to be a builder and a contractor and building houses from scratch. And that's not too much I don't know about building anything. Amen. And even I've fixed cars and done various things. I can take a computer, you hand me an empty box, and I can build your computer from scratch. However, every time I will do any of these things, I always would ask Holy Spirit. Now, I've done this before. I've painted before. I've ran electricity before. I've done this. So, but how do I do it today? As if I know nothing. And it's intentional. The reason why is because without us even thinking about it, we can put Holy Spirit so far out of our life that we don't even know. You know, and this is why it's good. Like every once in a while, even though I'm the bishop and everybody say, oh, you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that and you don't have to do the other. But I clean the bathrooms in the church, all of them. Amen. To keep me humble, to keep me understanding that I need help. Hallelujah. And so, but I'm sharing this to say that we in our lives, because we have done things once, twice, two times, 100 times, 1,000 times, we just think, you know, we just do it, you know. And, you know, some things they say, some things come without thinking. And that's what the devil wants. He wants us to do things without thinking. He wants us to be like, okay, Holy Spirit, I don't need you for this. I don't need you for that. And that's the key with cooperating with Holy Spirit, is because a lot of times they have a term in the Christian community called backslidden. And backsliding, to a lot of people, think that if a person don't, if a person go back to drinking, they go back to cursing, they go back to doing various things, they have backsliding. But I need you to know the devil is very, very cunning, and he's very, very subtle. You can backslide the first time you don't recognize Holy Spirit when you're trying to make a decision. You've already backslid. So it doesn't take very much. However, I thank God that Holy Spirit is always there to put us back in the front of our situation. So it doesn't take much. I mean, it really doesn't. Listen to me good. It doesn't take much to not be a Christian. On next Sunday in New Jersey, I'm going to be teaching a message on have you lost your influence? And so many of us have lost our, oh Lord, I don't want to get into the next week message. But we've lost our influence on people around us because we've lost the ability to allow Holy Spirit to influence us. So if Holy Spirit is not influencing me, guess what? My influence on others is going to be bad. It's not going to be for their good, and it's not going to be for my good, and it's not going to be for God's glory. Amen. Okay. Cooperating with the Holy Spirit. I'm way ahead of myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I want you to know that when the devil is successful at that, when he's successful at that, because he knows that it is when a believer when they develop a relationship with God, and when they come to that place that God is approachable, that he's not unapproachable, but he's approachable, amen, the lie that the devil tells us about the possibility that God will deal with individuals through the Holy Spirit, amen, we say, no, Satan is lying. God will deal with me. God wants to deal with me. Say that with me. God wants to deal with me. God wants a personal relationship with me. And he want that through the Holy Spirit. That's how he does it. He want us to listen. You don't have no small thing when it comes to God. Everything that you have going on in your life is big with God as far as you're concerned. It's big in the sense that he wants to, like, tell you, listen, This is what had already preordained from the foundation of the world. Before you was put in your mother womb, I already know that you was going to come up with this situation or circumstance. I already knew you was going to have this problem. I already knew this person was going to say whatever they said. I already knew this person was going to do what they was going to do. And I need you to know that I already got you sealed. Hallelujah. I already got you. Glory to God. I already know what to do to get the, so that you can get the best out of this. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God for this. And so why is this? Because Satan knows that when we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, there is established between us and God a relationship. Amen. It is so glorious. And this relationship transcends every other relationship we got. It transcends every other relationship. And what I mean by that is whenever our relationship with God overrides any relationship that we have with anybody else, where people are easy to steal our joy in a sense and steal our peace, we are more concerned about, when we become more concerned about our relationship with God, then the relationship with people begin to take a back seat. And what I mean by take a back seat, you can't cause me to step out of the will of God or the word of God or the commands of God by what you say or do, because I'm more concerned about keeping my relationship with God intact. And I know if I keep that relationship with God intact, that I'm going to have favor with who I need favor. I'm going to have proper influence. Amen. On who I need to have influence. Amen. And that influence is going to be towards God, for God, and for his glory. Amen. And so then that's what the devil knows. He knows if you ever cooperate with God and you ever allow the Holy Spirit to develop that relationship that transcends all relationships, he knows everything is all over. It's all over. You will then walk with peace that passes all understanding. You will then have joy unspeakable. Hallelujah. Amen. You will have those things that the devil knows that when he comes with his counterfeit, you know it's a counterfeit. Hallelujah. You know it's not the Lord. So you're able to resist the devil. And when we resist the devil, the Bible says that he will flee. But you and I can't resist the devil unless that relationship with God has transcended all relationships, because the devil works in relationships. Hallelujah. He's either going to work, amen, to cause you to doubt God. He's going to work to cause you to come out of your Christian character. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what he's going to do, because he knows that anytime you and I sin, he knows that it in some wise negatively affects our relationship with God. So that's what he's trying to do is I need, because the key is that a lot of times when people get into relationship with people, and instead of men and women especially, instead of everybody recognizing everybody's relationship, what they do is they try to get all the relationship. You know how some guys will be like, I want to separate this girl from her parents. I want to separate this girl from her friends. I want to separate them from everybody because I want them for me. But what they don't understand, what the beauty that they see in them is because of what all these people contribute to that person.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Like, you know, like my mother, my wife's mother, I, you know, it's like to her, I will never be her mother and you can never be her husband. So she needs you as a mother and she needs me as a husband. So then I'm never going to interfere with the relationship that y'all have as mother and daughter. And so don't interfere with what the relationship that we have as husband and wife, because whenever I make her happy, guess what? Her mother going to benefit. When her mother make her happy, guess what? I'm going to benefit. Are you understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
So you never, those relationships that are making that person who they are, you don't cut them off. You don't interfere with them. Amen. It's just like, you know, a person get married and they already have a child, and the person they marry begin to compete with the child for the person's attention. And instead of it's just being like, you know what? Whatever was going on between that parent and that child that caused me to be attracted to that parent, I need to leave that intact.
Amen.
Are you following what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I know that's another message.
But
the key is the relationship. The devil knows that if I can get you away from the relationship with God, I can pretty much destroy any kind of testimony you got. Anything that gives God glory, I can destroy that. Anything that caused God to be pleased with you, I can destroy that. Anything that caused you to be a representative in the earth, I can destroy that. Amen. So then this is why we try to leave relationships that cause people to be whole. We try to leave those relationships alone. And this is why the devil works so hard against our relationship with God, because he knows our relationship with God is what makes us. Hallelujah. It's what keeps us complete. It's what gives us joy. It's what causes us to be a testimony in the earth. He knows this. So he wants us to constantly be thinking that God is far off, that he's just too holy. And so then you don't need to bother God about everything, but you caused this on yourself. So you don't need to bother God about it. You know, if you had said the right thing, then that person wouldn't have got upset or whatever, you know, so that's how he works. So today we want to look at two things here. The ministry of the Holy Spirit to the non-believer, and then the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer. And when we look at the non-believer, the two things or the three things that the Holy Spirit does for the non-believer, he convicts the unbeliever of their sins. He revealed to the unbeliever what is true righteousness, and he declares to the unbeliever the truth about judgment. So now when he convinced a sinner or an unbeliever of sins, the Bible tells us in John, the 16th chapter, 8th and 9th verse, it says, and when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, we read this earlier, he will reprove the world of sin because they believe not on him. Now, if you notice in that verse, for those of you that actually are laying your eyes on it, he didn't say he will reprove the world of sins, but he said of sin, singular. And so what is this? The one sin in the life of the unbeliever that most concerns God is unbelief. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit comes and helps us with this unbelief, because it's this unbelief. God, the one thing that God looks down on or that hurts him the most is that when we don't have no faith in him, when we don't believe that he is God, that he can do those things that we believe that no one else can do or whatever, but he wants us to believe in him. Amen. And so what does this mean to believe on Jesus? It means not only to agree intellectually with scripture, and people don't have an issue with that. They can intellectually agree with scripture. Amen. Hallelujah. But they need to go a little further. It means to accept the cure, amen, he provided for us and for sinners' sin and his death on the cross. So it's not enough to believe intellectually that he lived, that Jesus lived, and that he died, and that he rose again. It's not enough to just intellectually believe that. And this is where the devil is satisfied in the life of the believer. As long as you just got head knowledge of God, as long as you believe that there was somebody that came and lived and died and all of that stuff and whatever people want to say. However, I just don't want you to look at the cure for your sins. I don't want you to believe that he was the cure, that he was, he came, that there would be a cure for your sins. Now, he don't want us to believe that, because when sinners believe that, what happens when we believe, when we was a sinner and believe that? We became a saint. Hallelujah. We believed on Jesus Christ and we were saved. And the devil knows that if he can keep a sinner, an unbeliever, believing that Jesus is not the cure, that he's not going to receive the cure. Hallelujah. Are you with me? And so then that's how he works. And secondly, to the unbeliever, I say he revealed to the unbeliever what true righteousness is. It is natural that independent, proud people believe that they can make themselves good by good deeds, by being lawful, by being kind to their neighbors and so forth. But as good and commendable as these acts are, they are not enough for God. They are not enough for us to be saved. The scripture declared all our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. So all our righteousness will not help us be cured of our sin. Amen. And so then God wants to give us true righteousness. Amen. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, he said he wants us to have the mind of Christ. And then in Romans, the 8th chapter and the 9th verse, the spirit of Christ. And then in Colossians, the 1st chapter and the 27th verse, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. So two things we saw: that Holy Spirit in the life of the non-believer, he convicts that person of their sins, and then it shows them what true righteousness are, that all of their righteousness cannot get them cured of their sins and they can be saved. But and thirdly, he declared an unbeliever the truth about judgment. And a lot of times we want to talk to people about God, but we don't want to talk to them about judgment of sin. Amen. We don't want to talk about judgment. You know, people say, are you one of those hellfire preachers? You know what I'm saying? Whatnot like that. And it's just like, if I don't tell you, if I tell you about Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross, amen, and I don't tell you why, amen, then I have not done. So Holy Spirit also, when we were sinners, he declared to us the truth about judgment. Jesus said, the prince of this world is judged. Amen. What he meant by that is that the forces of evil personified in Satan have been defeated because Christ's death on the cross. Hallelujah. And it's not necessary for us to beg God for this. All we got to do is accept what Christ has already done. You know, a lot of people say, well, I got to pray and beg God you know, for this cure, for this salvation. No, we don't have to beg God for forgiveness. He's already forgiven us. All we have to do is accept it. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. And what are we accepting from God? The receipt. How many of you ever been somewhere and got a receipt? You bought something and you got a receipt. What did that receipt say? The receipt says that it's been paid for whatever that receipt was for. Amen. So whenever, glory to God, hallelujah, Jesus wants us to know that when we receive, well, the Holy Spirit shows us when we receive Jesus, that all we got to do is accept from God the receipt. And this is what this receipt declares, that the penalty of our sin of unbelief has been paid in full.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
So when we receive Jesus Christ, we got the receipt that says our unbelief. Amen. And that's a big sin. Unbelief is a big sin. So I got the receipt. If you're born again, say, I got the receipt that my unbelief, the sin of unbelief, has been paid for. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, it is put as far as east in the west. God say, when he think about our sins, he said he put it as far as east in the west. Let me tell you something. East and west can never connect. They're always in opposite directions.
That's right.
Hallelujah. You can't go to the east. Amen. And somebody go to the west. Amen. Hallelujah. And you can't say that, glory to God, that you can meet in the middle. You can't. Because when you meet in the middle, you're no more west and you're no more east. Amen. So he said he puts our sins as far as east is to west. And therefore. Therefore, amen. So then when we get that receipt, amen, hallelujah, when people believe and receive Christ as their Savior, they will never have to face the judgment of unbelief. It is forever removed from God's attention. God is not looking for unbelief in us anymore. Hallelujah. He's not looking to judge us for unbelief. He's looking for us to continually look at the receipt. Look at the receipt and remember that, listen, I don't walk in unbelief. I believe God. Hallelujah. I am what God say that I am. Hallelujah. I am a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. I got the receipt. I own the salvation. This is mine. Hallelujah. Peace is mine. I got the receipt. I don't walk in doubt. I got the receipt. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then two, the ministry of the Holy Spirit once we become believers. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, see, the whole thing is corporating. whenever he convicts an unbeliever of their sin, amen, they have to cooperate with Holy Spirit. When he convicts us of our righteousness and we see there's filthy rights, we got to be saying, okay, well, that my righteousness is not going to work, Lord. You know, I'm going to come under the umbrella of Christ's righteousness, amen. And then he declared to us the judgment. It's just like we know that if we continue like we are, amen, we're going to go to hell. He said, but however, you don't have to receive the receipt, amen. Just accept the receipt, hallelujah. So then now that we've done this, now that we've gone from being sinners because of Holy Spirit. Now, remember now, I'm trying to keep us aware and conscious of it's Holy Spirit that gives us what we need to accept Jesus Christ. And if Holy Spirit gives us what we need to come into the kingdom, Holy Spirit is also works in our life to maintain our Christian walk. Amen. So then if Holy Spirit was required to get me saved, Holy Spirit is also required to keep me that way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So then let us see what he does when we cooperate. Once we become believers, what is Holy Spirit work then? There's four things that I want to cover briefly. First one is Holy Spirit presides at a birth experience. In other words, Holy Spirit is there to cause us to experience experience a new birth, and we will go over that. Secondly, the Holy Spirit baptized. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit seals. And fourthly, the Holy Spirit fills. So let's go back to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how he works as far as our new birth experience. When one responds to the threefold ministry of the Holy Spirit to believers, the experience of salvation take place. Up until this point, Holy Spirit has been on the outside. He's been on the outside working the ministry of reconciliation. But instantly upon the response of the unbeliever, he performs the miracle of the new birth. Hallelujah. And so many people talk about the new birth, but they don't talk about his only Holy Spirit that can cause it to happen. I can make confessions all I want. If Holy Spirit doesn't quicken my confession and my sinner's prayer, nothing takes place. Amen. Then because one has responded to the Holy Spirit in its initial ministry of convicting, so the first thing that Holy Spirit did, as I told you, he convinced unbelievers of their sins. So whenever we allow Holy Spirit, the ministry to convict us of sin, it brings and bring to pass the new birth. Three other ministries take place simultaneously. Amen. Upon our conversion. And those other three things is what I said earlier. He baptized, he seals, and he fills. Amen. So I need you to know that before I go any further, that when Holy Spirit, when we are saved, a lot of things comes with the package. However, the devil wants us to think that you just a saved babe. And you need to be filled with the Spirit. And I'm like, the devil is good, because so many undiscerning Christians tell you you need to be filled. Amen. But Holy Spirit, he does it whenever you and I are born again.
Amen.
Let me show you now.
Thank the Lord.
As I said, three things take place simultaneously as you receive Christ. The Holy Spirit baptized. Paul said, for by one Spirit, and this is 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And what is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? It is the act whereby the moment one of one's conversion, the Holy Spirit places the believer into the body of Christ, the universal family of all believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then he baptizes us in the Spirit. He calls us to drink of one Spirit. It doesn't matter. So then, and the other ministry that take place whenever we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit seals. It tells us in Ephesians, the 4:30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are what? Sealed into the day of redemption. We have been sealed into the day of redemption. Hallelujah. So we've been baptized and we have been sealed, and glory to God. Hallelujah. And when he seals us, here is more evidence in the way that the Holy Spirit, that God protects his property. Now, this is what God does. Not only does he grafts us into his kingdom. You know, like people will take a plant and graft it in. Amen. And he also fuses us into his family immediately when we say, but he also seals us with the Spirit. Now that is his Spirit within us. Is the divine mark of ownership. That means that you and I is owned by God.